Today we hear Psalm 46 because we look in our world and sometimes it seems like it's a huge disaster and God is the one that is our refuge. Today we also hear the story of the Good Samaritan from Luke 10. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, what's written in the law? And he said, well, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said to him, you've given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, a man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. By chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him. He bandaged up his wounds. He poured oil and wine upon them. He put them on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him there. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever you have spent. Jesus said, which of these was a neighbor to the man in the ditch? The lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, open our hearts and minds to the power of your Holy Spirit in our midst. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Even people who are not in the church, even people that don't know the Bible, know the story, the Good Samaritan. And we all think we know the point of it, right? Be the Good Samaritan. But what if this is also a story about fear? Fear of the other. Fear of someone who is not like us. That is happening in this story. It's like I told the kids, the Jews and the Samaritans, they were enemies. They did not like each other. They did not want to be in the company of each other. When Jesus says it's a Samaritan that stopped and helped, you could probably hear a pin drop in that crowd. And notice that the lawyer, at the end, he cannot even bring himself to say the word Samaritan. He simply says, the one who showed mercy. So what if Jesus is saying something about our fear of the other? Now think in your mind right now, because we all have a list. In very simple terms, who are the people that you think are a little crazy, ridiculous, wrong, you don't understand them? This should be an easy list to make, right? In his book, Unafraid, Pastor Adam Hamilton mentions a book that I recommend to you, a little bitty book. It's called Fear of the Other. It's by Methodist pastor Will Willimon, and it's awesome and timely, and the whole point of his book is our default is to fear. Fear people who are different from us, fear the other, and Jesus calls us out of that fear to love. Why? Because we are the other to God. Because all of us are an other to some other person or people. And because we are not called to live in fear. Perfect love casts out fear. That is what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves. And it's one thing to think of loving your slightly annoying friend. It's another thing to think of loving someone who might scare you. The Jews and the Samaritans, they likely had fear of one another. We all have fear of some person or group. Think about that. In reality, we're asked by God to move out of that fear and even into love. The question is, who is your other? Is it a person of a different faith? A different skin color? A different background? A different sexual orientation? Is it someone who is the opposite political affiliation? Jewish theologian Amy Jill Levine says, what if when we think about that, we imagine that we're in the ditch? Is there someone for whom we would rather die on the side of the road in the ditch than have them help us? If you've got an answer for that, you know who the other is in your life. And that helps us understand the complexity and the division and the hatred going on in our country. There's a word for it that's just rampant. Xenophobia. Xenophobia. It means fear or hatred of strangers or foreigners. Basically, it's a fear of the other. And truth be told, we all have this fear to some extent or another. Now, I'll tell you a story that may not seem very scary to you because you're used to seeing me as your pastor. But earlier in my ministry, I went to a Minister Alliance meeting one time in town. I was the new pastor in town. They met at a local cafe, and I walked into the group not knowing a single person there, or should I say a single man there, because they're all men. And at first, when I got there, they just started telling me their order, like I was the waitress. And then one of them piped up and said, now who's secretary, what church are you with, whose secretary are you? Did you come to take notes? You could have heard the pin drop on the carpet when I told them that I was actually the new pastor in town. I saw some of them backing up in their chairs, a lot of them looking at their shoes. And then one of them was talking about, well, we're talking about our Lenten sermon series, and this bright young guy on the other side of the table said, yeah, and you know, the newest pastor in town is the one who gives the sermon. And so in my stupidity, I said, that must be me. What would these guys do? They didn't believe in women pastors. It was decided that yes, I could preach at a certain church, but it would have to be a talk, not a sermon. It would have to be in the fellowship hall, not the sanctuary. Because as a woman, I may have a poor influence on their people. Now imagine my joy one day when my car broke down outside of town, and the person who stopped to help me was one of those pastors, whose comments about women left me feeling horrible. I wanted to say to him, I'm fine. I don't need your help. Thank God I didn't say that. Because years later, we were both called to go together to deliver a death notice to a family. Hamilton says that during the 2016 election, he asked his congregation to memorize two verses. And when I read that, I thought, oh, we're going to be doing that for 2020 here. The two verses are super simple, and you already know them. The first one is Matthew 7:12, treat people the way you want to be treated. The second one is James 1:19, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. There's a third one that you might know. It's on the front page of our website. It's our church mission statement. It's Matthew 22, the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and who? Your neighbor. How? As yourself. Notice that there are no exceptions to the neighbor part. What if this parable of the Good Samaritan is also about getting past that fear so that we can show mercy and love to each other? What if it is about realizing that we might be the one in the ditch and, oh, Jesus came to help us out of the ditch, so therefore we should do that for others? Willimon says in his book that Christians, on the basis of grace, are always confessing and repenting as part of worship because of Paul's words in Romans 5, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And we are called to love out of that love. That's not a very popular idea today, to be apologetic or repentant. Can you even imagine turning on the news and saying, local news story, we have someone who has decided to repent and apologize and confess for all their nonsense. Listen up. No, that doesn't happen. But in the church, it does. It's an important spiritual discipline, especially during Lent, because we've all shown some kind of unkindness to an other. And we need that forgiveness and healing. We need that for relationships. And you know what else we need? We need what Paul says in Romans 15:7. Welcome others as Jesus has welcomed you. We need something Jesus said. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. We need to know the thing that Jesus did, which was he welcomed everyone. He ate with sinners, all of them. He even, while dying on the cross, said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What if we could have just a fraction of that kind of compassion for the other? What if God could help us get past some of our fear? There is actual neurobiology behind fear. They've done studies of this. They've decided and seen that something actually happens in our brains when we come across people that we don't understand, that are very different, and we cannot accept. It really happens in your brain. We are literally physically afraid. The problem comes when that fear turns into anger, avoidance. Hamilton suggests that we should use facts. We should use some facts about other people. Excuse me. In his book, he says, for example, most of us, if you asked us about crime today, would say, oh, it's way worse today than it was 50 years ago. And the truth is, that's not true. The truth is, it's gone down for 40 years. He says, use facts, and he calls this cognitive restructuring. It's kind of like the Romans 12 verse when it says, by the renewing of our minds, we have to let our minds wrap around facts, which is super hard today because the news is sensational and dramatic and negative, no matter which side you're looking at. And a lot of people just feel like there's no news anywhere at all. So he suggests some very simple things. He suggests that we don't get stuck in just watching one channel of news, that we don't get stuck just watching Fox or MSNBC or one local station, but that we mix it up and that we ask the Holy Spirit to help us discern where there are some facts in here. Our Sunday school class was challenged to do this, and next week I'm going to ask them what they learned. The research on news and people watching news suggests that we seek out the kind of news that makes us more anxious and fearful. Talk about a vicious cycle. So Hamilton says he reads and watches news widely from all different perspectives so that he knows what people are saying and what they're dealing with and what the fears are out there. And he cautions something that I think is super important, especially for younger generations, which is that it's better to get your news from news, not social media. Because social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and all the other ones I don't know about, are platforms for people to share and reshare and opinionate. It's kind of like the telephone game. Did they play the telephone game, Sarah, ever?
Oh, yeah, they love it.
Awesome. The telephone game. Remember telephones with cords. Anyway, you would whisper to your neighbor in the circle a little bit of information. And so let's say it starts with Natalie loves Beats. But by the time you get around the circle of several people, you may have that last person say this out loud. Do you know that Natalie beats people and she loves it? So what do? We listen, we pray, we discern, we ask for Holy Spirit's help to find some facts. We pray for opportunities to have real relationship with people that are not like us. And we ask for that help to realize people are just people. I hope you've come to know that people in this church, your friends here, many of them are people who think and act and vote differently from you, and that is awesome. Here, we can agree to disagree in the body of Christ and still love Jesus and serve him together. I love that about this church. Unfortunately, today, out there in our country, fear of the other has been turned into like a personal right. We have a right to stand up for our kind. We have a right to be afraid of them, or some such nonsense, which is nonsense for people who follow a Savior who teaches us to serve the lost and welcome the stranger. For people who follow a God whose prophets were always saying, really, 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 I want you to care for the people who are marginalized, the least, the left out, the outcasts, the immigrants. If our God is on a side, it's on the side of the other. I would say that I agree with Hamilton in his book that most of our political divisions are all based on fear. Fear of immigrants, criminals, people who disagree, people who don't look like you. And it really has become this ridiculous breeding ground of hatred and cruelty, even from leaders and lawmakers and people in power, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart, and it scares me. Scares me for the people who are the next generation. That divide seems almost insurmountable some days, and yet we believe in this God who bridges divides. We believe in a Savior, Jesus Christ, who Paul says is our peace and has broken down the hostility of dividing walls. We believe that even when we have fear of the other, even when we are reacting to people out of fear and cruelty, that God is so big, God can transform us. God can make us new creations in Christ. Our faith is way bigger than any fear. Think about that. Our faith is way bigger than any fear of anyone. So if our God is bigger and our faith is more powerful, how are we supposed to be instruments of all that out in the world? Well, first, we do have to acknowledge our fear of others, and then we have to ask Holy Spirit to help us. Help us get past that fear to welcome and love. And I believe and I pray that if more and more Christians would act that way, maybe other people would kind of follow too. Talk about heartbreaking. 49 worshiping Muslims who were praying were shot by a non-Muslim in New Zealand who hated them. Presumably that starts from fear, and it becomes anger, and it can become murder, but it all starts with fear. We see all kinds of crimes based upon fear. And it's easy for us to sit in church and say, yeah, that is terrible in the world. I cannot even believe it. But you know what Jesus would say? What's in your heart? What's in your mind? That's just as powerful as acting out that fear. So what if during Lent we continued to examine our hearts and let go of our fear, especially the fear of the other? What if we confessed that fear and all the negative things that it causes in our lives? I don't know about you, but when the Orlando shooting happened, I wept for my loved ones who are gay and transgender. When shootings of young, unarmed black men happen, I weep for my brother-in-law, who is black. When the Dallas shootings of police officers occurred, I wept for those I know who are police officers. One of those guys, Robbie, a former youth minister here, wrote a few years ago after those Dallas shootings something that stuck with me. He said, when a citizen is shot at, they run away from gunfire, an officer runs into it. And this is what he said. He said, I will gladly go to work each and every night to protect all people, even those who hate me. Are we willing to go out into the world, welcome and show love and mercy and compassion even to people who do not like us? The Presbyterian Church a few years ago elected co-moderators. There were two women, yay! One black, one white, and then they elected a stated clerk who was the very first stated clerk of our denomination who was black. And then they did something else extraordinary. They added a new confession to our book of confessions called the Belhar Confession. And guess what it is about? Racial injustice, prejudice. Sadly, the same year that the church was gathering to do that, on May 11th in 2016 in Paintsville, Kentucky, Brittany Nicole Wallace was beaten almost to death by a man because he believed she looked too masculine and might be gay or transgender. When asked, he said that people like that make me hate the world. So that's why he insulted her and then attacked her in broad daylight, and no one who saw it did anything to help. This is what she said afterwards. She said, I'm going to do everything I can to try to put a stop to the hate and violence in our world because I love people and I try to help people in need. He said, all I ask of you is if you hear this or see this, please stop the hate. Help anyone who is hurting. We know who the other is to us, and we know Jesus. And we know that that is the person who helps us love and reach out and welcome, no matter who that other is, because Jesus reached out to us when we were in the ditch. By the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us, Jesus is the one able to take our fear and bring forth love. In 1 John 4, we have these beautiful words, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, I love God, but hate their brothers or sisters are liars, because those who do not love a brother or sister cannot love God. The commandment we have is also this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel today. May the God of love cast out our fear and give us the courage and compassion for everyone who is an other. And to that, all God's people said, amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed on page